Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokesman.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, part-time teen travel companion.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that appreciates humor as much as the next film fan. Trouble is, the range of comic movie offerings runs so wide that it's hard to define what is it that makes any single one of us giggle, chortle, or emit outright laughter. We'll try, though, this week as we tackle three different attempts at comedy, each one either a sequel or the latest offering in a familiar franchise. We'll start out with The Naked Gun, the latest in a franchise dating back to 1988, this one directed and co-written by Akiva Schaffer. We'll continue with Happy Gilmore 2, directed by Kyle Newacek, and co-written by him and star Adam Sandler. And we'll finish with Freakier Friday, directed by Nisha Ganatra and starring Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. It took the Airplane guys, David Zucker, Jim Abrams, and Jerry Zucker, to change the movie status of Leslie Nielsen from dramatic to comic actor. And by the time the trio released their 1988 comedy The Naked Gun from the files of Police Squad, Nielsen had long since made the transition. In The Naked Gun reboot, directed and co-written by Akiva Schaffer, it's Liam Neeson's turn. He plays Frank Drebin Jr., the son of Nielsen's character, and he's every bit as clueless and prone to over-the-top stupidity that, in true Zucker-Abrams-Zucker fashion, still ends up with his winning not just the day, but also the affection of a traditional screen vamp, here played by Pamela Anderson. The gags come fast and furious, so to speak, and some of them land with a thud. But then along comes the next one, and one after that until, at least to some of us, we can't help but smile and maybe emote even more. It isn't Airplane, which remains the best of this kind of comedic enterprise, but all that means is that the movie that started it all surely is streaming somewhere for us to enjoy yet again. And, by the way, don't call me Shirley.
Ah, that's great. I just want to say my favorite Leslie Nielsen line in Airplane is when they're trying to figure out who's been poisoned on the plane because there's food poisoning that's knocked out the entire cockpit. And the flight attendant says, oh, there was a choice between steak and fish. And Leslie Nielsen says, ah, yes, I remember. I had the lasagna. So I don't know why that always tickles my fancy. But looking at The Naked Gun, this new Naked Gun with Liam Neeson instead of Leslie Nielsen, which is its own kind of tongue
joke
twister, there's really only one rubric for judging a movie like this, and it's, did you laugh? And I laughed a lot. And quite often, the stupider the joke, the harder I laughed. Sometimes I was the only person in the theater guffawing at the stupidity on the screen. And some of it is smart stupid, but a lot of it is just stupid stupid. And I didn't realize how starved I was for a movie that's nothing more than a well-oiled joke machine, because the state of mainstream comedy films is abysmal right now, as evidenced by some other movies that we'll be talking about on this show. So it's almost a surprise to go see one that has taken the time to craft jokes rather than what so many filmmakers do now, which is they just turn the camera on some funny people and let them improvise and hope that something good comes out of it. All those sub-Judd Apatow movies that we've gotten so much of in the last decade or so.
And like Anchorman?
Well, Anchorman is closer to The Naked Gun than it is to any Judd Apatow movie, I will say that. And I will not allow for Anchorman slander on the show, as you know. But the plot in this Naked Gun, it's almost silly to talk about the plot at all, but it's sort of brought up to modern day because you've got this plot involving a corrupt billionaire played by Danny Houston and this whole scheme involving self-driving cars that may also be self-destructive. And its style, it's almost like they're trying to parody like a Law and Order type show or even some of Liam Neeson's own action movies.
Correct.
Like it's adopted Taken. That kind of style, yeah. But most of the jokes, even though it is, you know, sometimes parodying specific things, they're mostly just big, broad, stupid, tasteless, including—
Take a chair. No, I have some at home.
See, that's the kind of thing that I love. Or, you know, I went to college and it says UCLA. Yeah, I see it every day. I live in LA.
Yeah.
It's, you laugh because you can't believe that, one, someone would write something so stupid and put it in a movie, and that, two, you laughed at it, so you're almost laughing at yourself for laughing. And so, yeah, I had a really good time at The Naked Gun, and maybe we can talk more about the performances, because I do think performances are the key to these types of movies. But I thought Liam Neeson was exactly the right choice for this kind of thing, because you need an actor who is stony and solemn and sincere and very serious, so that the goofiness around him can be even more goofy, I guess. And so, yeah, I had a really good time at this.
I'm going to agree with you because it's silly. I mean, and sometimes that's exactly what you need. And you talked about the performances, and actually we do have some performances that are worth shouting out. Paul Walter Hauser, who some of you may remember from serious things in the past.
He's Richard Jewell.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say most notably Richard Jewell, because that was quite an eerie performance. Also, CCH Pounder is in the movie. And of course, what are we looking and hearing about on social media? The sort of resurgence of Pamela Anderson. Mm-hmm. And actually, she's gone through these different stages where, you know, people know her from Baywatch. You know, people had her poster on their walls, apparently. And
I don't know anybody who had that poster.
Oh, okay. So then we sort of went through a phase where more recently, where she was trying to downplay that sort of sex symbol association that people have with her by not wearing makeup and so forth. But she leans into it in this film in a way that is funny, for sure.
The way that, say, someone whose biography we recently reviewed, Jane Mansfield, might have.
Yeah, totally. And also this lineage of female co-stars in these Naked Gun movies after Priscilla Presley, who does show up in a cameo here, and Anna Nicole Smith, like Pamela Anderson is, what a perfect casting choice. Like, that's absolutely the right actress for the role.
Yeah, and I think that she showed her comedy chops here. And of course, we like Liam Neeson. I think I've told this story before, but we saw him getting off a plane in Naples with his then wife, Natasha Richardson.
Many years ago.
And she comes bopping off the plane carrying her purse.
And little dog.
And he is behind her with like six suitcases on a cart that he's barely able to push through the airport. And all the attention is on her. And he seemed totally fine with that.
That sounds like a Naked Gun joke.
It does a little bit.
Fred Drebin would be dropping the suitcases.
Don't you think? Exactly. Yeah. But I think the fact that it appears as though, from if you believe what you read on the interweb.
And I do everything.
Yes. That Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson may be testing out a little romantic relationship outside of the celluloid. So that in and of itself always, you know, I like it when people have sweeties in the movies or otherwise. Yeah. But yes, I laughed a lot too. It's a total turn off your brain.
Yeah.
See, I don't agree with that. I think there is an intelligence to the comedy
there's
here,
sort of a second
level. Yes,
I mean,
yes.
It's almost like there's a part of it that's like the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
And then there's a part of it just like take this chair, which is really stupid. But then it comes back in a funny way.
Yeah. Like people get bonked on the head and there's like a cartoon Looney Tunes sound effect. And you laugh because that's just so dumb.
I both knew what to expect but didn't know what my reaction was going to be because, seriously, there is only one airplane. It was done so well and so stupidly well that, you know, nothing can compare to it. But early on, the scene you were talking about, it begins with this bank robbery. And what is it they're looking for? You see the camera goes down and it goes P.L.O.T. device.
Yeah.
Plot device. Yeah. And it's like, oh, and I laughed as much at that as anything else because it was obvious from the very beginning, we're going to put you on.
Well, and I want to go back to just the type of performance that's required of these movies because beyond just you have to have a lot of jokes and you have to have a higher percentage of successful jokes than failed ones, you have to have the right actors in order for this material to work. And I was reading that, you know, they've been wanting to redo The Naked Gun for years. And there was a time when Ed Helms from The Daily Show and The Hangover and The Office, he was set to lead it. And that's totally wrong. This kind of comedy needs somebody like a Liam Neeson.
Who looks
who has
so
that
weary.
Gravitas.
Yeah, and he looks kind of weary.
Like
and,
he wandered
you know,
in from an
upon,
actual
right,
serious
exactly.
movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Leslie Nielsen, you mentioned this in the intro, Dan, but Leslie Nielsen, before Airplane,
was a serious actor.
Yeah, he was in movies like Forbidden Planet, and he was, of course, the captain in My Beloved,
and
the Poseidon Adventure.
He was a stiff.
Yes, exactly. And so to put him or an actor like Peter Graves in this movie where they're doing dumb things and dumb things are happening around them, that's just funny in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And so to have Liam Neeson committing to this bit, because I wasn't sure what he was going to do. I thought, is he actually going to go all the way? Because he's also, he's in all of these like direct-to-DVD action movies where he's phoning it in constantly. And he commits so hard to the role of Frank Drebin Jr. And there's this extended bit, I don't want to spoil anything, where they're looking at his body cam footage where all of this horrible stuff is happening to him. And it's so funny because it's happening to Liam Neeson, and you just can't separate his screen presence and his history with the character.
Well, I'm going to ruin another suit.
Well, and a little bit of his Irish accent comes through on occasion, but that was not off-putting. But yeah, I actually thought the big surprise there was Pamela Anderson,
yeah,
because she played it exactly right. You know, she was funny. Her timing was really good.
Yeah.
And
she has a scene in a nightclub where she like literally gets to take the spotlight away from everybody else. And you're like, oh, she does have the chops that, you know, she always said that she had. And I've also liked seeing the Pamela Anderson renaissance. But I mean, I know that I'm always talking about how I don't want any more remakes or sequels. If they just keep making spoof movies like this and they're this funny, I would like one every summer. Like, please, for the love of God, give me some good comedies again. I would really appreciate it. And this is the last good comedy we will be talking about on this show, I have a feeling.
Oh,
I don't know about
okay.
that. Anyway, that was our discussion of The Naked Gun. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to discuss Happy Gilmore 2 and Freakier Friday. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I shared our reactions to Akiva Schaffer's comedy reboot, The Naked Gun. Let's now move to something every bit as farcically comic, Happy Gilmore 2. Anyone familiar with Adam Sandler knows what to expect from the movies he's been making since his movie career broke out with 1995's Billy Madison. Jokes that seldom rise above what a 14-year-old boy will laugh at. It was the next year when, with Dennis Dugan directing Sandler and Happy Gilmore, that Sandler's style was cemented with the story of an ice hockey washout who, against all odds, becomes a champion professional golfer. Now, 3 decades later, and contracted to provide material for Netflix, Sandler is back with Happy Gilmore 2. This time, Happy is older, if not a lot wiser, having given up his golf career following a tragic mishap that left him a widower. But in an effort to raise funds so that his daughter can study ballet in Paris, he returns to the links. Typical Sandler comedy ensues, starring a range of celebrities, including numerous professional golf stars. Many will laugh, many won't, but at least with Sandler and comedy, you should know going in what camp you're likely to join.
Absolutely true. Thanks for the good introduction, providing us context in case people forgot about Happy Gilmore, the original from, it's 30 years ago? Wow, unbelievable. I'll be really interested to hear what Nathan has to say about this because I think that—
He's no longer 14 years old.
Well, right. But your enjoyment of this could depend, at least in some small part, on how familiar you are with sort of what's happening in the golf world today, because it really does skewer and make fun of that. And also, if you don't have any sense of who these professional golfers are who make these more than cameo appearances, I think it's going to just play out totally differently for you. So fortunately, Dan and I come from a tradition of watching golf on TV that in my case goes back to the 1950s. So we did have a heightened awareness of who was who. And the reason why that's important is because there's a mini star turn by Scottie Scheffler, who is the leading golfer in the world today. He's won 5 of the top tournaments this year alone. And he presents as this really sort of uptight, like his way of being in the world seems like that. Not anyone that you would put in a comedy. And yet he has sort of a starring role. There are also these other subplots of golfers who we know hate one another, who have to work together and so forth. So yeah. All that would be something that others would not necessarily be privy to. So maybe they would miss some of the comedy aspects. But, you know, we have these cameos by people such as Travis Kelce. And no, Taylor Swift does not appear in costume in this movie, although that rumor was circulating. We also have Bad Bunny, who, I'm sorry, I thought he was the highlight of the movie. I laughed every time he was on the screen. Nathan's like sort of, it'll be so great to hear what he has to say. But there is also, and this is a shout out to you, Nathan, in particular, Benny Safdie, who was the co-director, I guess, of Uncut Gems.
Right. One of Sandler's best performance.
Right. And one of your favorite movies.
Correct.
He also shows up as the antagonist in this particular film. And every time he came on the screen, I laughed too. So again, some people have referred to this as stupid comedy, idiot comedy, Adam Sandler comedy or whatever. But I did laugh and I liked the cameos, and there's no real plot that's compelling, but I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I don't have much nostalgia for the original Happy Gilmore. Billy Madison and the Wedding Singer are the 90s Sandler
Waterboy?
Comedies. Boy? I mean, I loved that when it came out, but I haven't seen it since. But those ones I will come back to. And I don't know, I just saw every joke from the first Happy Gilmore just gets repeated here. Sometimes they'll just cut to clips from the original movie. And it doesn't have the zaniness and, you know, the mean streak of those early Sandler movies, because he's really softened. I mean, you know, he's like a family man now. And so he puts all of his friends and his kids and his wife in the movie. And I mean, you mentioned that he's contracted to Netflix to crank out content, and this kind of feels like that to me. The two funniest elements from the original Happy Gilmore unfortunately can't return here because they have passed on,
and that would be Bob Barker
and Carl Weathers. I did get a few chuckles from Steve Buscemi, who, you know, is now a Sandler regular. I like Christopher McDonald as Shooter McGavin. I wish they had let him go even crazier than
I agree
he
with
feels
that.
Subdued
I do agree
in
with
this.
That.
Of all the non-actors in Happy Gilmore 2, the only one who I thought comported himself well to comedy was John Daly, who shows up in this.
He had a major part.
He lives in Happy's garage and drinks hand sanitizer, and I thought he was funny. I didn't think any of the other golfers, they can barely read their lines because they're not natural actors.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of praise for Bad Bunny. He was okay, but John Daly for me was like the star of this, and I did not expect that.
But once again, I mean, you're not really familiar with people like Xander Schauffele. And so when Xander Schauffele, who is a stone face on the course, when he goes, "That's what she said," and Ricky Fowler looks at him and goes, "What are you talking about?" Yeah. Those of us who know who these people are think,
right.
Whereas
I don't know and I don't care.
Okay, fair
enough. At any rate, that was our discussion of the Adam Sandler comedy Happy Gilmore 2. Let's finish with Freakier Friday. If someone or something is freaky, which is to say out of the ordinary, odd, or even weird, then imagine what it means to be even freakier. In terms of movies, the original Freaky Friday, which was released way back in 1976, starred a 13-year-old Jodie Foster and Barbara Harris as a daughter and mother who magically switch bodies, giving each the opportunity to experience the other's life. In 2003, the movie was famously remade with 16-year-old Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis cast as the principals. Now we have Freakier Friday, which takes the same basic idea but enhances it by having Lohan and Curtis play, respectively, a mother and grandmother who end up switching bodies with, respectively, Lohan's character's daughter Harper, played by Julia Butters, and the teenager who is set to become her stepdaughter, Lily, played by Sophia Hammonds. That, of course, is assuming that her marriage to hunky Eric, played by Manny Jacinto, comes off. The two girls, each for her own reasons, don't want the marriage to take place, shades of another franchise, The Parent Trap, and once the body switching occurs, again done magically, they do everything possible to mess things up. The typical comical hijinks follow, though the film itself, gratefully enough, ends up embodying even more of a heartfelt message than the one that came before. Walking in someone else's shoes, even for a short while, will, well, you can fill in what follows all on your own.
It's sort of comforting to see that live-action Disney features are still being made and they still exist in these plastic PG-rated worlds. We've been talking a lot about nostalgia on the show for obvious reasons. And the 1976 Freaky Friday was a childhood favorite of mine. And I did like the 2003 remake, mainly because of Jamie Lee Curtis's performance, which was so inspired and funny. And this sequel, I mean, it's doubling the amount of body swaps we get, but it's the same movie, up to the third act that involves both a wedding and a concert that may or may not happen. And we know, of course, they will. And I think this premise is also flawed because we follow the two teenagers in the adult bodies and the two adults in the teenage bodies. But the only comedy comes from the teenagers in the adult bodies. So it's uneven. The other stuff doesn't have any comic tension or possibility. The teenager actors are just kind of wandering around in this, while Curtis and Lohan get to have a lot of fun. And I thought they were both really good in this.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see Lindsay Lohan back and actually being given something to do.
So you agreed that this is a Lohanissance?
Boy, I hope so. Well, it makes me think when she was in Robert Altman's Prairie Home Companion movie.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see her work with some heavy-duty material again. But
no one has ever denied that the woman does have talent.
Yeah, yeah. But she was always given bad material. Yeah. And I don't think this is very good material, and I don't think it rises above the quality of its predecessor.
Well, and I had a few problems with some of the age-related jokes.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. And, you know, I can go with some of them, but yeah, it almost got overused. And I think that the four-way swap was more difficult to pull off because you had to constantly sort of remind yourself who was who. And more important, as you said, because the girls don't have so much to do, it didn't really play out in the way that was super funny. I liked some things about it. We did have the opportunity to get some limited feedback from some teen grandchildren. And I think they were kind of meh, you know, with respect to it. I thought they would maybe like it a little bit more than they did.
Yeah, I think the only thing that really, for me, saves this movie is that in the second half, there is some genuine emotion, and so it becomes something more and less than your typical farcical comedy. And again, we start off by talking about Airplane. Airplane is the great farcical comedy. This is nowhere even remotely in that category, but it has its qualities.
Well, and I'm not really that familiar with Manny Jacinto.
He was on The Good Place. That's Manny, what I know.
Oh, Manny Jacinto. Yeah, I didn't know who he was because I didn't watch The Good Place. And there was a lot of talk about how good his performance was and so forth. But since I know nothing about him, et cetera, I was like, eh.
He can be very funny, and he doesn't get really anything funny to do here. But yeah, the originals, I think, still hold up pretty well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And let's get another shout out for the original Parent Trap with Haley Mills and the remake with
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, that was our discussion of the comedy Freakier Friday. This is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. And earlier in the show, Nathan Weinbender, Murray Pat Truthart, and I discussed The Naked Gun and Happy Gilmore 2. Let's take this moment to thank Cassie Fox for both producing and engineering the show. And we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer wherever we can find it. Until then, consider these words from the one and only Garrison Keillor. God writes a lot of comedy. The trouble is, he's stuck with so many bad actors who don't know how to play funny. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.